3 John. I'm going to be honest with you, church. These have, out of the 20 years of pastoring and preaching for years, even prior to coming here 20 years ago, these have been some of the messages that I have probably second-guessed myself on. Even before I preached the last Sunday, I was really trying to talk to the Lord about, is this really what you want me to preach? And the more that I would ask, the more that I was assured of the Lord that this is what He wants me to preach. And even as I studied this message out, Lord, is this really, I'll quit these series of messages if that's what you want. And I'm just assured that this is it. But I'm still preaching with a thought. Now, last Sunday, we started a message or a series of messages on me against you and you against me. And a lot of you told me on the way out Sunday night, preacher, we're for you, we're not against you. And I appreciate that, and I believe that. Amen, I really do. I believe that. And we looked at last Sunday morning the pastor's position, his job, and the person of the pastor. Last Sunday night we looked at when the people get against the pastor. We looked at when the people of God got against Moses, even when his own brother and sister got against him in Numbers 12. And when the people got against him in Numbers 16, how all that was handled. And something that struck me funny, and I may talk about this here in a minute, is every time they got against him, Moses was on his face to the ground and that talking to the Lord about it. He was trying to work things out and that to the good of the people of God. But this morning I want to preach on the thought of me against you and you against me. Is that when the pastor becomes against or gets against the people. Look in verse 1 of 3 John. The elder unto the well-beloved guest, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So you see right here, your soul can prosper. And he said, I want you to be in health and prosper, but only as your soul prospers right here. He said, for I rejoice. And notice what he said right there, be in health. Well, it's good for us to be healthy, ain't it? Amen. He said, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever that beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to the strangers, which have borne witness of the charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, and he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. I have many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. And be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, we love you today and thank you for loving us. And Lord, it's come preaching time now. And I pray that you would keep Satan far, far away from this meeting. I pray that you would hinder him and bind him and let folk be very attentive and that to the Word of God, not only with their ears, but with their heart. And Lord, just a few things that you've shown me in this scripture, might I be able to preach to your people this morning, Lord, that it would not only help them, but that it would help me. And would you please come by today? As folks sitting in this church are needing help, There may be somebody here today that is lost and undone, that has never met you in salvation, that's never come to the saving truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that they'd come, move and come and get saved today. Lord, I pray you'd meet with us for a little while, stir in hearts. And Lord, we want to tell you that we love you and thank you for loving us. And thank you for ever being ever present and ever listening to your children. I thank you for that. Would you please help us today and strengthen us from on high and give us a touch from heaven for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. As I looked at this message and looked at 3 John, six times he deals with the word truth in this chapter, and one time he deals with the word true. Now I want you to listen to me. If you don't get anything else out of my message this morning, is you should be concerned about the truth. In 14 verses, he talks seven times about the truth. I want you to understand something this morning. John 14 and 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I want you to hear me this morning now. I want you to hear me real good. That friend, that you need the truth of God in your life. And the very fact is that Jesus can save you, will save you, and keep you, and make you a fit subject, and that for heaven. The Bible talks about, I believe it is in the book of John chapter 8, and he says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Boy, I'm glad this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ that made me free from the bondage of sin, made me free from the cares of this life, made me free from the clutches and that of Satan this morning, that I'm no longer belonging to him, but I belong to Jesus Christ, the one that gives me joy and happiness down on the inside that this world cannot give. Amen. You said, "Preacher, do you not have trouble? Do you not have problems?" I've got all kinds of them, friend. I face the devil. I fight him. He is my adversary. But there's one thing that I'm leaning on and listening to, and that's the Word of God, the truth. Listen, when I got saved, Ephesians, he said, "After you heard the Word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." Hey, thank God I heard the Word of truth that I needed to get saved, and I got saved. Amen. Thank God for that today. Amen. Ain't that exciting to know that you're saved today? Amen. I'm excited about salvation. I hope you are. I got to talk to a lady this morning. I just on the way out here, and you know what? She kind of opened the door on it for me. We had this. We never stop on the way to church on Sunday morning. But we had to stop this morning at the gas station. I run in there real quick, got what I had to have. And it wasn't beer and cigarettes either. Amen. That's extra, and it didn't cost you a thing. Ain't that good this morning? I had to run in there. And she said, "I assume you're going to church." I said, "You assumed right." Amen. I was paying for my bottle of water. I getting what I had to have. And listen, she kept talking. And I thought, man, I'm going to talk to her about the Lord here for a little bit. And so I asked her if she went to church. She said, "No." I invited her to come. And as I got ready to turn around and leave, I thought, I need to talk to her and find out. I'll get to preach on my message here in a minute. Don't worry about it. I thought, I need to talk to her about heaven. I said, "Do you know you're going to heaven?" She said, "Oh, yes, I know I'm going to heaven." I said, "So you know that you're saved. You have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ." And she said, "I have, and I hope she has." I mean, that's what she told me. And that's between her and the Lord. I hope this morning that you put your faith and hope in Jesus Christ, not only for the next world, but for this world while you're here. Amen. My faith is in Him today. I'm trusting in Him. It's not a false hope. I've not believed in vain. I've been looking about that message where Paul talks about folk believing in vain. I have trusted. I come to get saved that night. And listen, no matter what else happened, I come to, he said, if you come to me, I'll in no wise cast you out. Hey, thank God when a sinner comes, he said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Boy, I'm thankful for that today. But let me get to preaching on my message today. I want to preach a thought, if I could, of me against you and you against me. And I want to look, if I could. Now, I don't know if Diotrephes, right here in 3 John, is a pastor. I don't know. He had some kind of authority. And in some kind of authority, as you'll notice as we read this right here, you'll find that he really didn't care for John, and he didn't care for people that cared for John. And I believe John had warned some of these people unto the Lord. You say, why do you say that? Because if you look right here, he says in verse 4, as he's talking about the truth, he said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And so he calls them his children. And I believe that maybe John had warned and that some of these people unto the Lord. I believe that he said one of the greatest things is you walk in the truth. And you know, as a pastor, I'll be honest with you, one of the greatest things that I ever want you to get is the truth. I want you to understand that. I listened to you, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again. You realize that if we're doing our job around here at this church, and these children that are growing up at this church, when they get older, when they get old enough, friend, and we'll say marrying age and all that, after they grow up through time and get to be an adult, whatever that is. Listen, there is no need. If I've done my job and these Sunday school teachers have done their job, there's no need for these kids to have to go to Bible school. Everything ought to be taught to them right here. There ought to be some in-depth teaching and in-depth preaching. That's why it's important to keep your children in that in church and for you to be here. But if we look about Diotrephes, he was not only against John, but he was against some of the people in his church. And let me say, one of the hardest things that can ever be in a church is when there is a division. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to look at this tonight about the church member and his or her position. But he said that there should be no schism in the body. And that word schism is talking about a division. And there should be no division in the body. Because if there's a division, we're more concerned about the division than we are about serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why, as I read last week in Psalms 133, behold how good and how pleasant, he said, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. But I want you to look at Diotrephes, and I'm going to use his attitude toward things of a pastor that is against his church. And you say, why would he get that way? Why would he get that way? Just stay with me and we'll look at some things. Just three things today and we'll go home. First of all, the pastor that is against his church or against people is more concerned about self-exaltation than he is the Lord and the people. Notice what he said right here when he told about Diotrephes in verse 9. It says, who loveth to have the preeminence among them receiveth us not. That word preeminence is talking about being first or having the priority of place. Now, Diotrephes wanted whatever he was doing and that to be about him. Do you realize this morning that this thing is not about Mark Latham? You all realize that. As I looked at this, I had to sit in my study and ask myself questions. Mark, do you realize that this thing ain't about you? Yeah, I stand behind this pulpit. Yeah, my name's on the sign down here. Yeah, I am your pastor. And I mean, I'm associated with a lot of things when it comes. Do you know that if you Google my name, the very first thing that'll come up is Unity Baptist Church? Sometimes it'll scare you. When you Google your own name. Do you know that my electrical license number is out there somewhere floating around? Everything is out there if you ain't careful. Amen. But the very first thing that comes up is the church. And so I'm associated with this church. I'm tied to this church. But what you need to understand, what I need to understand, is this church ain't about me. Amen. Say amen right there. I get that. A lot of people think that church is about our personalities and it's about the preacher. But I want you to understand, the Bible says in Colossians 1, and he is the head of the body, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Listen, Christ is to be first. What Christ done at Calvary for our sin. Well, we ought to preach the gospel, promote the gospel, tell the gospel, and then promote righteous living and holy living and sanctification and living by faith. Amen. But it ain't about me. But Diotrephes, he made it about him. Over the years, I've seen a few that have made it about them instead of making it about the Lord. They've made it about the type of service that they wanted to have instead of making it about the Lord. I love it when the Lord comes by. I love it when he squeezes on our heart. I love it when we shout a why. I love it when hands are in the air and folk are weeping and crying. And all these are good things. But I'm going to tell you, I've stood behind this pulpit and watched God move when there wasn't a shed tear, when nobody raised their hand and folk just sat there and got what God was trying to give. We miss the Lord sometimes because we're looking for something. We're looking to stir up. And listen, I love to be stirred up. Peter talks about being stirred up. Hey, we need to be stirred up sometimes. The pastor that's all about himself is self-exalted. He wants to be the full authority. If you notice right here that Diotrephes, he had some kind of authority in the church. He did because he was casting folk out. He wouldn't receive John. But he wanted it to be about him. It was going to be, as he said, it was going to be his way or the highway. I do believe now, listen, you put this in conjunction with what I preached last week. I do believe God uses me to guide and lead this church. And I think you need to listen out of what I've got to say. But I'm going to be honest with you tonight or this morning. Boy, I don't know why I'm stuck on tonight. I guess I'm ready to eat that chicken. Amen. I guess that's what I'm ready to do, to eat that chicken tonight. If I'm living right and doing and I'm following God like I ought to be following him, I'm going to say it again, as Paul said, he said, you follow me as I follow Christ. But I'm going to tell you, not everybody's following Christ this morning. You've got to be careful about that. Diotrephes loved to have folk lift him up and brag on him. I believe he liked that because the Bible said that he loveth to have the preeminence. He wanted church to be about him. Can I tell you, the day that I come in here and church is about me, you all need to do something about it. Y'all Lord said amen right there. I'm not kidding. Any time that church is exalting a man instead of exalting the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Hey, listen, the only thing that God ever, that I can find, that God put about his very name was his very word. I think we ought to exalt the word of God. Because in it is the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Verse 14 said, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, the Bible says. All this book is, Jesus come. Listen, when he come, he is the word of God. When he left us this book. And this is him, friend, in word form. When we're exalting something or somebody else, then we're messing up. As Jesus talked about in Luke chapter 18, you find that the Pharisee and the publican, they both went down to pray. Take your Bible and go to the book of Luke chapter 18. I want you to hear this story. Most of y'all know this. Luke chapter 18. Is that where I need to be? I think this is right. Luke 18, verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain. Now, pay attention to what he says right here. Which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Let me say this, that if you're righteous, you ain't going to be able to despise others. You ain't going to do that. But he said they trusted in themselves. What are you trusting in today? Who are you trusting? And he said, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee was the religious man, and the publican is the one that nobody liked. And he said, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers. And that's a good thing not to be. I'm not sure he wasn't some of those things. But he told the Lord, he said, I'm glad I'm not like these. But then he turned and he said, or even as this publican. He said, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And then he said, the Lord did, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. He said, if you want to be exalted, then humble yourself. That's good for me to understand, ain't it? It's good for me to live by. It's good for you to live by. Bible said it's not good to eat much honey, so for men to search their own glory is not glory. You know, it's like eating too much honey. You ever ate too much sweet stuff? You know what it'll do? It'll make you sick, won't it? It'll upset the apple cart, if I could say that. And he said right here, he said, look, so for you to search out your own glory, is that not what got Satan in trouble in Isaiah chapter 14? He wanted to lift himself up above God. But the Bible said he shall be brought down to the sides of the pits of hell. So we find in 1 John, or 3 John, excuse me, Diotrephes, and I've got this circled in my Bible, love. He loveth to have the preeminence. See, it's just that not that he wanted the preeminence, he loved to have it. Can I ask you this morning, when you come to church, and I sat down and I seriously asked myself this question. I wrote it out to ask myself this question. Could I serve God if I wasn't pastoring, preaching, or playing some kind of musical instrument where I could be seen and where I could be bragged on, would I still serve God? That's a good question, ain't it? I think that's a fair question to people, especially in my position, that needs to ask themselves day in and day out, would you still be serving God if eyes wasn't on you like they are? Well, I think that's a good question. Remember what I told you before, a long time ago? You are who you are when it's just you and God. Not when there's anybody else around, but when you're making choices and trying to serve Him that nobody else can see you, that's you. Diotrephes had a problem with being lifted up. Some pastors fall because they lift themselves up and they feel that they're too big to fall. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. Brother Jeff did. Talked a little bit about how that we can fall. And by the way, you can fall. You can fall. You can. He even talked about folk that had been saved that have failed. And listen, this morning, if I'm not careful, I preach to myself, if I'm not careful, if you're not careful, friend, we think we're too big to fall sometimes. in our service to the Lord. And that's why we abase ourselves and we humble ourselves and we realize that we are just flesh, but it is by the help of God and the power of God, that we're going to finish well in serving Him. When He comes back, I want to hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." But there was an exaltation. But notice right here that, now I'm talking about the pastor against the people, because I'm dealing with unity. There can be no unity. I dealt with the people being against the pastor last week, but this week, pastor being against the pastor, there can't be no unity that way. And let me say, whatever I'm preaching out of this pulpit is good for you, but it's good for me. Wouldn't you agree to that? Well, then there's an excommunication right here. Notice that word excommune means to exclude. He wanted to exclude John, and he wants to exclude those he wants to throw out. And the Bible said he casts them out of the church because they received John. Now, it's one thing to mark a man who's in sin and who's doing wrong. There's one thing to withdraw fellowship, and I'll deal with that tonight more. There's one thing to withdraw fellowship for somebody that has sinned and will not get right. Right? But that's the last thing we want to do. It seems that as young pastors and young preachers, that's one of the first things folk wants to do, because it seems easy. It's in a place of authority, and I'm going to say what I want to say. You better be careful about that. You know, he talks about withdrawing fellowship from somebody, and he talks about in treating them as a brother, they may be ashamed for the situation that they've got themselves into. To exclude somebody, or what we call churching, is one of the last things you ever want to do. It's one of the last things I want to do. Didn't say I wouldn't do it. Didn't say it didn't need to be done. I said, hey, listen, if you go to Matthew chapter 18, I've been studying Matthew 18 a little bit here lately. If you go to Matthew 18, he lays out some things to do before you do that. Take your Bible and go to Matthew 18. I want you to see this too. Most of y'all know this. Look at Matthew 18, and then look in verse 15. Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. All right, that's good, ain't it? He said, you go talk to him. You go see him. He said, you've gained your brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. So in other words, if he won't hear you, you take two or three more. And you let them hear what's going on. They can decide some things of what's happening. And verse 17, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church, unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church. So if the church tries and that to win this feller back, and he will not hear. He said, but if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. So let him be just like the world. Let him be like the lost man. Let him go. If he won't hear you, if he won't hear the witnesses that come, if he won't listen to the church, there's nothing else you can do. That's kind of hard, ain't it, sometimes? What else can we do? How else can we get folk and that to see the truth? Remember, the truth is what we need. Remember, the truth. But Diotrephes, when folk would come in, he would want to throw them out of the church if they were willing to receive John. He didn't want to have anything to do with John. As a matter of fact, notice what he said right there. He said, he's prating against me with malicious words. That word prating, that word prate right there, that means to talk much with little purpose. We've been guilty of that. I'm a talker. Y'all know that. I'm a talker. I love to talk. I wish Brother Marvin was here. I really do. I wish he wasn't in Kentucky this morning. But you know, if I can't work a word in edgewise in conversation with somebody, they're doing a lot of talking, man. Now, I've said this about Brother Marvin. I'll say it again. And sometimes it's that way. He loves to talk too. We just love to talk. I mean, we're talkers. I reckon that's what preachers do sometimes. We're just talkers. You've got to learn to do better. Amen, brother. We just talk and carry on. But right here, what he's talking about, that prating. He's talking about to talk much without much weight or to utter foolishness or foolishly. Now, I don't know why he didn't like John. I don't know if it's because John had won some of these people to the Lord and he didn't like that. I don't know if it's because John was concerned about the truth. To be honest with you, I'll tell you why I think it is. Diotrephes loved to have the preeminence, and John knew better than that. No doubt John was instructing people and telling them, hey, there's something wrong with this fella over here. He loves to have the preeminence. He loves to lift himself up. And hey, this thing is to be about Jesus Christ and Calvary and that empty tomb over there. That's what it's supposed to be about. And I believe Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence, obviously he had some kind of authority. John said in verse 9, he won't receive us. And he cast those out of the church in verse 10. Who would receive us? And so you know what he done? He had hate and a malicious mind toward John and toward some of his people. I've heard preachers testify to this fact. He's told some people preachers have told people in their church, you look better going than you do coming. And I remember one fella said, young preachers, and some are old preachers, make statements that are a little dumb sometimes. You can say amen right there. I've done it. I try not to do it anymore because the Lord will make us live by some of the things we say sometimes. But he said, I got to say it. You let better going than you do coming. And he said, you know what happened? They got to going. And I turned around. We didn't have nobody. You know how hard it is to have church without people? It's kind of hard, ain't it? That's just only smart. But notice I kept reading this scripture. And I thought if Diotrephes keeps casting everybody out, they ain't going to be nobody left there except Diotrephes. And I'm determined that that's what some people want. Listen, I don't want a church full of problems. I don't want a church that's got issues. Don't misunderstand me. I don't, but I'm just going to tell you something. We're going to see this tonight. God being our helper. We're all different. We're all just people. And sometimes, we're just hard to get along with sometimes. But we figure it out, don't we? Do you not get along with... You know what happens if you can't get along with your family? You won't go around them. And by the way, let me say this. Some of your family you may not need to be around, by the way. That's a different message for a different time. But he has a hateful mind and a hateful heart toward John and toward some of his church. He has a malicious mind when he's talking about those malicious words. No doubt he's spreading rumors on John. He ain't telling the truth, is he? If it's malicious words, it's not the truth. I debated whether to tell you all this or not. Over the years, as some people have left the church and went to other places, and I've had pastors call me, and they know certain folk are members here, and especially if you go visit churches that where I have friends that pastor, and they know that you're a member here, you go to church here. I've had folk call me, I've had pastors call me and say, hey, your church member was over at my church tonight. What were they doing there? And here's what I determined to answer. Probably one of the first times that ever happened, I said, if they come back and they want to join your church, then I'll tell you. But there's no need to run anybody down in the dirt. There's no need to even talk about things if there's something that needs to be worked out in this church. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm not wanting to live myself up. But I've learned a long time ago that I can save myself a lot of trouble. Me and my wife, we talk about a lot of things in our house. But I try not to talk about a lot of things outside my house. Amen? I'm not interested in running you down. I'm not interested in starting. I hope you ain't interested in running me down, running rumors on me. I don't think so. I hope not. You know, even if things are true, we don't have to go tell them. I think the Primitive Quartet sings an old song, just go and tell Jesus. You know, go tell Jesus on me, you know. Go to Him. He's not content. Notice right here, he said he's prating against us with malicious words and not content therewith. There's two ways that I looked at this when I read. One, he's just not a content person. He's not a happy person. He's not a satisfied person. But to be honest with you, as I read that, I thought about, boy, how Diotrephes was just not content with spreading rumors on John. He was just not content with spreading rumors on folk that would receive John. But he said he's not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren and forbiddeth them that would and casteth them out of the church. He's just not content with talking about me. He's going to cast folk out. He's not going to receive the brethren either. I don't know what kind of church is going on right here. He don't want to have Diotrephes does not want to have nothing to do with John. He don't want to have nothing to do with the brethren. And he's casting folk out that does. Would you say that this church is in a mess right here with Diotrephes in charge? I would. Those that are like-minded, he would not receive. I thought about that he might have been afraid of what would happen if he received the brethren and let John come in. I'd say John might have cleaned house. Who knows? Or somebody of the brethren might have cleaned house. He might have set him straight. I don't know. He said he just won't receive. And he would forbiddeth them that would and casteth them out of the church. So there is an exaltation of himself. There's an excommunication of the church members who would. Now I'm going to give you a $30 word right here, but there was an exiguity of the truth. I had to find a word that started with E right here. It's a $30 word that simply means a smallness or a scantness or little of the truth. Diotrephes was not concerned with the truth. It all comes back to the truth, because if we look down here, look right here what he said in verse 12 about Demetrius. He said, Demetrius hath a good report of all men and of the truth itself, and we also by record, and you know that our record is true. He said, Demetrius, he said, this fella right here, he said, he's a good man. He's got a good report, and he's concerned with the truth. Diotrephes was not concerned with the truth. Don't you reckon that your pastor ought to be concerned with the truth? I think I should. I think you ought to be concerned with the truth. If you look, you'll see that there's a contrast between Diotrephes and Demetrius in this passage of Scripture right here. You find the man who is about himself and who's not about the Lord, but then you get to Demetrius and he's about the Lord. He's about the truth. He's got a good report. I think that's a good testimony. I'm going to tell you something. If I'm not concerned with the truth, then I'm against you. I may not run you down. I may not cast you out of the church. I may not do anything. But if I don't tell you the truth, then I'm not for you. Anybody that stands behind a pulpit and tells their church that he's for them and will not tell them the truth, he's lying to them. I like the truth. I'll never forget the first time I ever heard this old statement. You don't have to prop up the truth. The truth will stand by itself. I'll never forget. I was a young preacher when I heard that statement. And that made such an impression on my heart and in my mind. I've never forgot that the truth of the matter is all that there is. The truth of God's Word, the truth of what happened, whatever it is, it's just the truth. Jeremiah chapter 2. We studied the book of Jeremiah here some time back on Wednesday nights. And Israel and Judah were being carried off into captivity. Y'all remember all that. Jeremiah chapter 2, Babylon was coming to get them. God had allowed that to happen. And in verse 8, the priest said not, where is the Lord? Now the Lord is telling Jeremiah some things. And they handle the law, and they that handle the law knew me not. He said, the priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. He said the problem was that those that was in a place of leadership, the pastors, the priests, he said, look, those that handled the law, they didn't know nothing about me and they didn't know the truth. Church, can I tell you, because I preach to you the truth and I preach the way I do, some people think I'm against them, but I'm not. If I was against you, then I would pat you on the back telling you you're doing a good job, send you out that door back there, collect my check, and go home and never think another thing about it. When I tell you that I agonized over these messages, because I'll be honest with you, I knew we weren't going to shout them out. I knew that. I listened to, and I'm preaching and I'm thinking, Lord, why do you want me to preach this stuff? The people sitting on the pew, they know this stuff. Jeremiah chapter 3, he said, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family. I'll bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, he said, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. You know the problem they had? They had pastors that wouldn't feed them. You remember what a pastor is? He's a shepherd. What's a shepherd do? He takes care of sheep. He feeds sheep. He protects sheep. Diotrephes was not concerned one bit about protecting the church. He was concerned about protecting himself, wasn't he? Why do you think he wouldn't let John? I can tell you right now, I determined what I was going to say this. And I can show you a church from years back that they wouldn't have revival. The preacher or the pastor, and I mean, he was there for a long time, but he wouldn't let men come in and preach in his pulpit. I mean, there's very few men that I'll let up here, but I will let some. I mean, I've done proved that. Why? Might be afraid of what he's going to say when he gets up there. Well, I've had men stand up here in this very pulpit and just hammer my problems. I still like it when that happens. You may not like it, but I do. I like it when God deals with my heart. You know why? You want to know the number one reason why that I like it when God deals with my heart is because I know that I'm still His. He would not be bothering me about things if I wasn't His. Brother Ralph talked about asking the Lord, Lord, are you happy with me? Any of y'all go home and do that? Any of y'all go home and ask Brother Ralph. Brother Ralph might be happy with you. I don't know. Ask God if he was happy with you. That's a big question, ain't it? I mean, that's really a big question. To get alone in your prayer closet and look up to heaven and say, God, are you happy with me? What I'm doing? How I'm doing things? Let me get back to it. It was an exiguity of the truth. It's just small. It don't mean anything. The truth of God's word, the truth of sin, the truth of righteous living, the truth, it just won't matter. I have a pastor friend of mine. He was teaching Sunday school at his church at the time before he started pastoring. There was a young lady in that church. They were going to let her on the football team. Now, there's something wrong in that in itself. Y'all can argue that point later. But, you know, she had went and asked her preacher if he thought that it'd be okay for her to play on the football team there at the high school. And then she went to her Sunday school teacher and asked him. And he said, you have no business being out. I mean, you just have no business being out there amongst all them boys out there, because you don't know how rough they're going to be. You don't know what they're going to do. And I'm not going to get ugly right here by some of the things that I could say, but you just don't know what they're going to do when you get out there on that field. And he said, you have no business being out there. That was the truth. She may not have wanted to hear the truth. She may not like the truth. But you know what? That caused more problems When he told that young lady that, because that preacher said, yeah, just go ahead and go play. That'd be all right. That ain't got nothing to do with doctrine. No, but I can tell you, he didn't care for that little girl, because if he cared for her, he would have wanted to keep her off that field. You may not agree with that, but I'm telling you right now, that Sunday school teacher was trying to protect that girl and was trying to take care of her and trying to watch over her. And that preacher just said, yeah, go ahead and go do it. Demetrius hath a good report of all men and of the truth itself, yea, and we also by record, and you know that our record is true. I hope over the years that I have proved, still proven to you that my records, what my record is, that I love you and love your family. And I'm not against you. Some people think I am, but I'm not. And I want you to understand that. That pastor that seeks his own glory, that pastor that's ready to get rid of people at all costs, that pastor that's not concerned with the truth, he's the one that's against you. Let's pray.